Why? Here's why. Hello, world of the internet, and welcome to Why with Simon Miller. My name is Simon Miller, and I'd like to say why. As if you joined the Pro Wrestling Podcast yesterday, don't like to cross the streams of those two, you'll know that I'm sick at the moment, so there may be a lot of sniffing and a lot of coughing. And if that is the case, you're going to have to forgive me. I agree with you. I hate it when you tune into a podcast and people are like that and you hear them cuffering and spluttering. But I would rather keep the podcast schedule going than not. I'm only on episode 5 of this, so we're still growing it. So make sure you go out there and tell your friends. Tweet about it, Facebook it, subscribe on iTunes. That's a big thing. Please do go subscribe on iTunes and give it 5 stars. That's how we get it into the charts. And that's how the wrestling podcast did so well at first, is we got it into the charts. So yeah, please do go and do that. And you can support the podcast too at patreon.com/Simon316. In fact, that supports all my projects. So please go and do that. And if you are on YouTube right now, where we are going live every Thursday, give me a like, give me a subscribe. Always works. And again, Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcasts, everywhere. This one really does go everywhere. Make sure you go and track it down. If you have just stumbled across it as well, welcome. Again, my name is Simon Miller. I just talk crap for about 45 minutes to an hour. I got a wrestling podcast, got a gaming podcast, and I was like, I need another outlet to talk about random things. So we've done movies, we did Game of Thrones, and we did Aladdin, and how weird the songs are in that. And today I want to talk about Anthony Joshua. Not necessarily the specifics. I would have liked to have got to this earlier, and that was my plan, but again, my week got away from me. So you would have seen over Saturday night, Anthony Joshua, who was a 3-time champion, lost to Andy Ruiz Jr., who everyone decided was never going to win, right? I think, and Anthony Joshua was like, I can't remember the odds now, but the odds were crazy. In a 2-horse race, the odds were absolutely crazy. Like, it was night and day. So but this all ties into other stuff, actually, because what has happened in this fight? Like, boxing is a mental game, right? It's a mental game, and everything from what happened before the fight to after the fight was all about just ragging on people's mentality. And that kind of struck a chord from me. Like, you know, I guess my title's a little bit misleading now that I think about what I actually want to talk about. The reason Anthony Joshua lost is because he got outboxed by Andy Ruiz Jr. That's it. And the reason it was such a surprise ties into what I actually want to talk about today. And that is the fact that we judge somebody, we judge the book by its cover, and then when Anthony Joshua is concerned, we kick the crap out of him mentally because we didn't like the fact that he lost. And that, to me, is just bad all round, if we're being completely honest. Because I've just realized my green screen's all wrong. Why's my green screen wrong? You can see through my top. Ah, that's annoying. I can't change it now. Oh, well, I'll be see-through guy today. It doesn't matter. But yeah, like, boxing is a crazy thing. Like, I think everyone is allowed to be an armchair critic. Of course you are. Everyone's allowed to be an armchair critic. It's part and parcel of the world we live in. It's why social media is so popular, because everybody wants to have a voice, and Twitter and Facebook and the like allowed you to do that. But when it comes to boxing, I think sometimes we need to take a step back. It's pretty flipping terrifying, even if you are a 6'7", 250-pound man, 6'6", 250-pound man, to step in the ring and know that the guy, same with MMA, anything like that, and know that the guy or the girl across from you, his whole or her whole idea is to smack, he's trying to kill you. That's what they say about that kind of sport. Like, you go try and kill him, and the referee will make sure that you don't do it. So it's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I don't think anybody walks into them without having a little bit of fear. Even someone like Mike Tyson. They may not show it consciously, but subconsciously, when you know what you're walking into, I think that's absolutely a thing that you need to address. So to start taking shots at that, it's the one sport where I'm a bit like, really? Really? Like, it's a life or death kind of a thing. And to look at a guy like Andy Ruiz, who had won like all of his amateur fights, has only lost one of his professional fights, and that was a points decision where a lot of people actually thought he won, and go, he's crap because he doesn't look like a boxer. Straight away, I was like, okay, well, that's not cool. He even said, Andy Ruiz came out and said that sometimes he thought about pulling out of fights because everybody rags on his physique so much. And I get it. I understand. Doesn't look like a boxer, especially compared to someone like Anthony Joshua, who, you know, if you were going to draw a boxer, that's what he'd look like. But it was just one of those things that tied into other stuff that we do talk about here on my YouTube channel. We have a vlog series about mental health and everything like that. And it was just, that was my big takeaway with it. It was just, we're so keen to jump down people's throats, and we're so keen to, I don't know, get one up over people. Like, some people shrug their shoulders and are like, eh, Anthony Joshua's going to get knocked out. Who cares? It's the other way around. Anthony's going to knock him out. Who cares? That guy's a chump. Look at him. Doesn't care. Doesn't train. You know. And the real interesting bit was, then he does knock out, he does knock out Joshua. And then that same mentality did a flip. It did a switch almost instantly. All of a sudden, it was like, oh, well, I knew Joshua was going to get knocked out because he was complacent and he doesn't care about, look at the way that he lost. He didn't lose in the right way. I don't care about this guy. And it's, I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the 180 because we had gone, you know, we had gone from judging Andy Ruiz from the way he looked to judging Anthony Joshua by the way that he acted. How is a boxer meant to act in defeat? This all comes from a tweet I did earlier at Simon of 316, cheap plug. But what do we want a professional sports person to do when they lose a fight? Like, what do we want them to do? We want them to break down? Do we want to see them struggle mentally? Is that what we're aiming for? I don't understand that at all. I don't want to see that. I think if a sports person has the mental fortitude, at least public facing, I'm pretty sure any human being away from the cameras is going to struggle because you put so much time and effort into that. I don't see how anything else could happen. But if you're able to hold your head up high and come across like a humble, respectful guy, I don't think that is something that should be ripped. And I understand why the media does it. That's how they sell newspapers and articles. Doesn't necessarily mean I agree with it, but it wasn't surprising to me. But it happened with, I think, is it Ben Foster's the name of the Watford keeper? They had a match and he screwed up and basically let the ball into his net. And I was listening to a specific radio station over here in the UK and they were just lambasting him. Excuse me. They were being like, oh, he clearly doesn't care. He was able to laugh it off. And my big thing was, thank goodness he is able to laugh it off. Because as important as important as sport is, and I do think sport's important, it can change somebody's life, it can provide an outlet for somebody to focus on, and you know, there are so many positives to it. If you have the mental strength to be able to have to go through something that doesn't necessarily correlate to a win or a victory and not let it drag you down, then to me you're an inspiration. Doesn't mean you don't care. Doesn't mean that you didn't take your job seriously. It doesn't mean that we should be dragged over the coals. It should be applauded. And I say the same thing to Anthony Joshua. Like, to be able to do that and come back and stand there after you just lost all these things you've been working towards over the last few years should be commended. It should be applauded. Because, I'm sure he sat in his house now in New York, whatever kind of, you know, accommodation he rented. I'm sure he sat there and he can't believe it. He didn't think he was going to lose. No one ever, well, sometimes it happens, but I don't think in this particular scenario. He never thought he was going to walk in and lose. And the fact that you do, and the fact that you have to hear about all this stuff in newspapers and on the news of people, you know, ragging on you, I don't think that's easy. It's like YouTube comments, right? YouTube comments are difficult sometimes. I've been lucky enough that I've been doing this so long, it's like water off a duck's back. But every now and then, if I'm having a bad day and someone calls me like a bald motherfucker, I'm a bit like, I don't need that today, man. And it sparks something off inside of you. Now, take that and times it by a million. And put yourself in a proper celebrity status where everybody wants to have an opinion. Everyone is pointing their finger at you, going, loser, loser, you don't care, blah, blah, blah. When all you did is go out there and do your best. And yeah, sure, tying back into the title, maybe Anthony Joshua did take Andy Ruiz Jr. lightly because he was a last-minute replacement. And again, he doesn't look like a boxer. And maybe just because Anthony Joshua has so much confidence in himself, he's like, I can beat this guy, I can beat anyone. All right, that's sport. That's what happens. You make mistakes. You put two people in a ring that are heavyweights and anything can go down. I understand that it's a shock based on odds and what people expected, but really there's no shocks in heavyweight boxing. My man Ibanai in the Super Chat should say that as well. If you are in the YouTube channel right now, please do, if you want to ask any question you want, literally any question, put some money in the Super Chat, I'll ask it and I'll say it. If I don't want to answer it, I won't, but I'll still read it out. Tyson infamously once said that his goal was to push the nose bone up into the brain. Nasty. And that's it. That's why, you know, when you hear people going, oh, Joshua is a coward, or, you know, Joshua let himself down, or the best one, Anthony Joshua let the nation down, didn't let me down. And I'm sat here in the UK right now. I don't think that Anthony Joshua fights for me. I don't expect anything from Anthony Joshua other to entertain me in a boxing fight if I part with 20 quid. That's the only thing I expect from Anthony Joshua, because I'm not a crazy person. Imagine putting all your thoughts. Does that mean if you get in and you've got a promotion, you're like, oh, Anthony Joshua, you were meant to make sure this is happening. He's not the be-all and end-all. He's just a very successful sportsman who just got caught. Everyone seems to forget that as well. That punch in the third or the fourth that Andy Ruiz caught on the side of AJ's head caused a concussion. That's what happened. And it's not that surprising. Again, how much did he weigh? Like 19 stone or something, Andy Ruiz? If somebody, you know, smacked you in the head, it was the switch for me. Shout out to Jake Daly in the super chat as well, who says Tyson Fury is the king. I will say that I think Tyson Fury is probably the best boxer of those three, talking about AJ, Deontay Wilder, and Tyson Fury. I think in terms of his skill set, yes, I think he probably is the best boxer. Whether that equates to a victory or not, we don't know. Hopefully we'll find out soon. But yeah, I couldn't believe how quickly we turned on a dime to going, oh, Andy Ruiz, screw you, because you don't look like a boxer, to Andy Ruiz, what a hero, but screw you, AJ, you didn't do what I thought you were going to do. I mean, who doesn't know that more than AJ? That's like when you bang your head. So I just mind your head. It's too late now, twonk. Tell me that before I bang my head. Also, why do people say that anyway? You don't need to tell someone to mind that. That's ridiculous. That's what I don't get. I really don't get. It's like, that's when Twitter and social media becomes not a problem, but you kind of want to have to hand out forms before somebody fills out a new account. So you have like a Twitter form, and the Twitter form like says name, age, are you a massive racist, are you a bigot? And you'd have to imagine that someone that is a racist and a bigot is pretty stupid. So they'll tick yes, and you just go, yeah, you're not allowed on. But we should expand that as well to, like, you know, do you make crass reactions based on nothing but, you know, little tidbits that you've seen? And when people tick that bit box as well, you go like, yeah, you're not allowed on. And everyone's a boxing expert, aren't they? As soon as it's done, everybody's a retroactive a boxing expert. Oh, I knew Anthony Joshua was going to lose. No, you didn't. The only person that knew that AJ was going to lose in my world is my dad. My dad was adamant that he lost, but my dad's been watching boxing for 50 years. He used to cover it. So he just has some, you know, some kind of, I guess, astute insight into what could happen. He was good friends with Lennox Lewis, my dad. There you go. But that's the, and like Lennox Lewis weighed in, and he said he thinks AJ should get rid of his trainer and vice versa. Lennox Lewis is allowed an opinion. I mean, everyone's allowed an opinion. But Lennox Lewis is allowed more of an opinion because he did this for 20-odd years or whatever it was, and he was the world heavyweight champion. Also suffered a shock defeat. But I don't even think that it matters. I don't think that it matters that Anthony Joshua lost, because I don't think heavyweight boxing is going to happen. So I was thrown by a stupid comment. Callum Mellis, what's this stupid comment all about? Tyson is the best in terms of skill set, but I don't know if that translates into a victory. Well, that's true. He said, "Damn, Simon really knows boxing, lol." Well, that's true. That's the stupidest thing someone said in a long time. You're welcome to Why with Simon Miller. Now it's different in here, isn't it? No positivity. We just react. Like I just said, I'm being a hypocrite. But of course, you could be the best boxer and still lose. I mean, loads of people have said that's literally what happened over the weekend. That's a strange thing to say, my friend. But now I think sometimes we, as a media centric society, we jump down people's throats too much. And I think that's good. I think that's a good message to send. You know, I think we should be sending a message that, no, it's not, you have to put into people's brains that winning is not everything. Well, no, you do. You have to put into people's brains that winning is everything. But you also have to accept that when somebody loses, they are allowed a break, you know? And that's the thing that kind of always, that's the thing that always gets me. I just don't get it. It's lost on me entirely. In this crazy, just jump down people's throats. And look, if we watch the fight, I think Andy Ruiz is the better boxer. I think it's as simple as that. Everyone's looking for these crazy like scenarios. Oh, Joshua was concussed. Jonah was knocked out sparring, or he was ill, or he had a panic attack. I just think Andy Ruiz was the better fighter. That's it. But we underestimated him, because that's what we do. We look at people and go, well, he doesn't know he can win. Therefore, he's not going to. Therefore, he won't. It's very strange. What a crazy week it's been here as well over the UK. Because we had all of that. I know it made headlines around the world, but being a British fighter, it was obviously a big deal over here. But then also Donald Trump popped over, didn't he? Good old Donald Trump. That's always like a controversial beacon. I'm not going to sit here and sort of talk about politics too much, because the problem with politics is I can give you my politics, but everybody will disagree, because that's just what happens with politics. I mean, if you want to know, do I like Donald Trump as a president? I would say no. But if somebody wanted to tell me why they did like Donald Trump, I would listen to them before having an opinion before reacting to that. Because you just don't know. I don't know what people's opinion. Like, the story I always tell, it genuinely has nothing to do with me. It's to do with a friend. But the Conservative Party over here in the UK are quite a controversial bunch as well. And two friends of mine were having a row because friend A and friend B. Friend A was going to vote for this because we had voted for the Conservatives. And friend B, who was an ardent Labour guy, was like, what are you doing? And friend A had voted for the Tories because where he lived, it would benefit his children. I can't remember now. Maybe he got more tax credits or whatever. Child benefit. I don't know. That's really hard to argue. If he's putting his kids first, and yeah, there's the counterpoint, but what about the greater good? I understand that. But maybe in his situation, he was like, well, I've got to put my kids first, which you do, right? It's pretty good. So fair play. You know, you've got to look at it that way. So somebody may have a reason for voting that, but my personal politics are, no, I'm not the biggest fan of him. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about the fact that he came over. This was hilarious. He came over, and before he even got off the plane, he tweeted, and you just know as well, this is the best thing about it, right? As soon as he got off the plane, he had a tweet ready for Sadiq Khan, who's the London mayor, right? Super Labour guy, had spoken out about Donald Trump already. But there is no way he hadn't spent that whole plane ride writing that tweet. You know, sometimes you write a tweet, you read it over, you save it into drafts, and then you go back, you read it again, oh, change that, change this. Because it was a two tweet as well. It was a 1/2, 2/2 tweet. So as soon as he landed, he had those two tweets ready to go. How crazy is Donald Trump? How crazy is that? Is that he was ready because he just wanted to get back at Sadiq Khan. That was it. He didn't like what he said. He's like, I'm going to drop these two tweets as soon as I land in the UK. That's the first thing I'm going to do. And I was like, that's what a 12-year-old does. That's actually what a kid does. You line your tweets up to get a couple of shots in. Also kind of underlines that Donald Trump cannot be a very secure human being. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Absolutely not true at all. Words can hurt you loads, but only if you allow them to hurt. Only if you are in a place where they get under your skin. It's weird that Donald Trump uses Twitter so much, isn't it? Like, it's good in a way, I think. Not the way that he does it, but in terms of a president or anybody, a political power, using social media. Because some people go, like, it's not fitting of somebody of that position. I'm like, no, you've got to embrace technology. Like, you absolutely have to embrace the world we live in. Otherwise, we may as well still send carrier pigeons to each other. You may as well start a fire and start wafting smoke, and people have to kind of read it with smoke signals. So I think it's good, but it's just the way he does it. He just reacts to everything. He reacts like we react right now, like in YouTube comments. We hear and see something we don't like, so we just flip out. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. But anyway, he's been over here. There's been protests, and he pretends there's not been protests. And at one point, he said he was going to negotiate the NHS and a trade deal. Then he went back and said he didn't. Then he said Meghan Markle was nasty. He said he didn't. That's been the papers all week. Like Donald Trump comes over and everyone goes crazy. Which I understand. He's a controversial figure, right? But it just dominated. It absolutely dominated for the... I don't know if he's still here now. He may have gone. All I know is he had a banquet with Prince Charles. That was the funniest thing. He had a banquet with Prince Charles where he talked about climate change. And then Donald Trump was on Good Morning Britain, which is like a morning TV show over here. Same thing as Good Morning America, stuff like that. And they were talking about climate change. I was listening to Donald Trump going, I don't think he knows what climate change is. I mean, that's nothing new. Loads of people have said that. But it's just like, he talks in sound bites, right? Oh, excuse me. Oh, damn this illness. Damn it, straight to hell. But he talks in weird sound bites where he doesn't, well, he doesn't make any sense. Very weird. It's very weird. But yeah, he's been over here. So that's been going down. I always get people asking, Miller, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? In terms of that light just flashed. I'm going to watch that back. Did that pick up on the stream? It's doing it again. Maybe the Undertaker's here. What are you doing, light? I don't know why I'm talking to it. Doesn't work either way. A, the light's not going to respond. And B, if you're listening to this on audio, now you're just hearing me talking to a light. You can't see. I'm just staring at it now. Like a shark focusing on its prey. Do you see that story too? There was a guy whose daughter got attacked by a shark and he dove in and he smashed it in the face loads of times to chase him off. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in that kind of situation where you know someone you love. I think about this kind of stuff all the time because I'm weird. But somebody you love is being attacked in a situation where you know, if I don't do something, they're going to die. But if I get involved, I could likely die as well. You know, that's when you get that flight or fright thing and you need to figure out what you're going to do. But imagine diving into the ocean where there's a shark attacking someone you love. And you've got to fight it. And you've got to punch it and fight it off to the point it thinks it's not worth it. And it swims off. That's something else, man. And he did it too. He absolutely did it. He smashed it to the point that it just swam off. And I was like, wow, man, what a story that is. What an absolutely crazy story that is. Like, I don't know. You'd like to think in that kind of situation, you'd smash it, right? And you'd absolutely own the situation. But what if you didn't? What if you didn't? What if it turns out that in the eye of the storm, you were like a massive coward and you just froze? I mean, is that bad? Does that make you a bad person? Because it's instinctive, isn't it? It's reactionary. This podcast should be called The Reactionary Podcast. We're all talking about that. But yeah, like, what does that... I'm intrigued, but it's a moral thing. Honestly, from a morality point of view, it kind of ties into that gun. This is a bit different because he'd been employed to do it. Like, there was that shooting in America, and there was a policeman stationed outside the school, and he decided not to run in and do anything, and now he's being taken to court over it. Again, there's a massive debate to be had there as well. But that is different because he was solely employed that if there was any danger to go into the school and try and sort it out. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you are just walking along and you see something happening, and it's technically not your responsibility to help, but you know that you potentially could, but the sacrifice is your own life, do you do it? Now, most people will go, yeah, of course I would, but that's what you hope you would do. When you're in that situation, nobody knows. And I think that's a fascinating thing to think about. Because it could happen to you at one point. It's like if you saw a little kid crossing the road and you saw a big truck coming. What you hope happens is that your legs kick into gear, that adrenaline comes, and you run into the road and you push the kid out of the way and you save their life. But what could happen is you just look at the kid and you want to go and save him, but your body doesn't even move. It's just still and silent because that is your natural reaction to it. I tell you, man, life can be pretty damn scary. You never know what it's going to throw up. Each day we go out there and we hope it's going to be all right, but we don't know. We don't know for sure. Anything can happen. Absolutely anything. I said I would do another Disney song this week as well. If you didn't see last week, we went through the words to Whole New World by Aladdin. And we found out that it's a terrible, horrible, horrible, terrifying song. So I said I'd do another one. And I've only just remembered this now as we're doing it. Now I can't think of any Disney songs to say. And we should do The Lion King, right? Lion, because that's coming out next. Don't know why they're releasing Aladdin and The Lion King so quick to each other, but they are. So Lion King songs. We've got Circle of Life. I Just Can't Wait to Be King. Be Prepared, we said we were going to do. Do I get lyric? There we go. So this is Be Prepared by The Lion, in The Lion King, done by Scar, who I believe was originally voiced by Jeremy Irons. Is that right? Was it Jeremy Irons? I think it was. So apparently I'm giving some people existential crises right now. But it's fascinating to think about, isn't it? Like, I want to think I'm a hero. I don't know. I've never been in that situation. My body may just not work. And that would suck. Because then you've got to live with it. But is it wrong? That's the other thing. Is it wrong? If you don't do something, is it just your body kicking into life-preserving mode? Because that's what the body is built for. The body is built to survive. That's how the brain works. That's why a car is driving at you. Your anxiety and your adrenaline kicks in. And your body goes, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way, get out of the way. Because it knows it wants to keep you alive. That's the thing. Someone said, I Can't Wait to Be King, because I think that's going to be too obvious. Anyway, something in my teeth. The Lion King, Be Prepared. I should have set it up so I can play the song. I haven't set that up, so we won't do that. Lyrics. I never thought hyenas essential. They're crude and unspeakably plain. But maybe they've a TD nerve of potential if allied to my vision and brain. I understand these are songs, but that is ridiculous. I mean, for starters, you're singing a song to hyenas, and the first thing you do is go, I don't think you're that essential. That is like your girlfriend comes home and you go, hey, honey, I didn't miss you. Straight away, you'd be like, that's not the best way to greet me, is it? He's singing this song to hyenas, telling them to be prepared. I never thought hyenas essential. Then apparently he hums for a while. Do you remember that song by the Crash Test Dummies? Where that was the whole song. You know, once there was this kid who... And the song was called, hardest thing in the world to ask any kind of voice-activated music box to play. Like, you know, Alexa, play... So, excuse me? Play... So, what, you stop taking the piss out of me, human being. Say what you flipping want. I know that your powers of redemption are as wet as a warthog's backside, but thick as you are, pay attention, my words are a matter of pride. It's clear from your vacant expressions, the lights are not all on upstairs, again. All right, mate, how you doing? I'm good. By the way, I think you're fucking dumb. But we're talking kings and successions, even you can't be caught unaware. Well, you can. You can't say that. That's contradiction, Scar. If you're saying you don't think the lights are on upstairs, they absolutely can be caught unaware because they're dumb. If someone's dumb, they're not going to be on top of it. So be prepared for the chance of a lifetime. Isn't that going to Disneyland? Well, irony. Be prepared for sensational news. A shining new era is tiptoeing nearer. And where do we feature? Just listen to teacher. I know it sounds sorted, but you'll be rewarded when at last I am given my dues. Wrestling. And injustice deliciously squared, be prepared. I worry that we've overdone Disney songs. I really, like, I know that they are these incredible things. And also, Elton John wrote this, along with Tim Rice. So, you know, you can't really crap on Elton John. But, you know, they're not as impactful as I thought. It's great that we'll soon be connected to a king who'll be all-time a dork. Of course, with pro quo, you're expected to take certain duties on board. The future is littered with prizes. The point that I must emphasize is you won't get a sniff without me. So within that one thing, he's gone to crazy dictator as well. So he's saying, like, come on board, please, I need your help. And then from nowhere, he goes, but if you fuck me, you're not going to get a sniff. That's not a way to rule. For the call of the century is simply while I'll be respected, saluted and seen for the one I am, be prepared. Yes, I'll teeth and impatience are bared, be prepared. And he says that over and over again. I worry about all these. Kids are listening to this. Someone said they want, and I just can't wait to be king. I think that's just, I'm going to be a mighty king, so enemies beware. I've never seen a king of beasts with quite so little hair, lol. I'm going to be the main event. I never noticed that before, main event, because lions have mane. Like no king was before. I'm brushing up on looking down and working on my roar. Yeah, he said, no one's saying, it's just one of those decent reads. You need the ones that are, you know, like Whole New World, where they're singing. Like, Can You Feel the Love Tonight is probably a better one. Can you feel the love? Oh, no. I can see what's happening. What? And they don't have a clue. Who? They'll fall in love. And here's the bottom line. Our trio's down to two. That's the Pumbaa reference. The sweet caress of twilight. There's magic everywhere. And with all this romantic atmosphere, disaster's in the air. See, stuff like this. Can you feel the love tonight? The peace the evening brings. The world for once in perfect harmony with all its living things. And we're only singing like that because it's like Lion King, isn't it? And it's like animals. I think we smashed it with Whole New World. Excuse me. I think Whole New World was the one. Whole New World was the one that we just stumbled it by magic and realized that Disney films are absolutely nuts. Aladdin's out now, by the way, don't forget. We talked about that last week and loads of people got in touch with me saying they hated it. I was like, all right, well, what can I do? I tried my best. I tried my very best to say that I enjoyed it, but apparently that I'm not allowed. There was something else I wanted to talk about, and now I've forgotten because I didn't make notes this week because my stupid cold. Well, the X-Men movie came out. Well, it is coming out. Everyone says that's a pile of crap, and everyone was surprised. I'm like, I'm not that surprised. All those movies have been really bad. That sounds awful. That sounds horrible, but it's true. I know that's not all of them, but they recently got good again, but by and large, like, X-Men Apocalypse, one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life. So, but yeah, that's out. So people want to see that. We may talk about it if we can. I think that my throat is getting so bad, we may just have to do a brief podcast. I tell you what we'll do. You can ask any question you want in the chat. I'll answer a handful of them, and then I've got to go rest my voice before it goes. Someone made a good point in that Lion King anthem. We should have done that one. Of course we should. Circle of Life, right? I used to think it said Arsene Wenger too. There's a bit when I always think, when I was a kid, I was like, why are we singing about the Arsenal manager, Arsene Wenger, in... Is it Circle of Life? No, what? Well, I can't remember now. What the flip was the Lion King songs? There we go. Which one was it? I thought it was Circle of Life, but it can't be. Oh, I have no idea. I thought it was that one. I thought it started off with that and then... I want to see what it says written down on paper. There we go, I found it. So it's called Sir La Roche de Lyon. Is this it? That's not it. No, that's something else, surely. I don't know what that is. I'm getting lost. I'm getting lost in crazy Lion King songs. I don't even know which this one is. I'm going to have to play it. It's going to break my computer. Let me mute me on here. Yeah, mute that. And then, is it this song? We're going to get an advert first. Of course we are. Let that skip. Get rid of this advert. Is it? What is it? Wait a minute. What the hell? Why is it? What's that? Wait. I've just unlocked it and I've got narrator. Wait a minute. Right. I need some help in the chat. Every time we get a super chat, does people hear a narrator reading out for them? Is that? That shouldn't be happening. Is that a thing? Someone let me know that's a thing and I'll get rid of it. That is 100% not something I want to happen. That's really annoying. Anyway, shout out to James Hutton in the super chat. Says, no question, Simon. Just my first time watching live. Wanted to support. P.S. Good luck with the wrestling and hope to see you live at some point. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. The wrestling's going well. Well, I can't talk about it just yet. I got a big podcast that I want to do talking about my last match with Martin Kirby, but it doesn't air for a few weeks. So, James, I promise that we'll get into that soon. That's very kind of you, though, man. The wrestling is going well. I'm booked up through June, August. So June, July, and August, I'm completely booked up. September, I need to get some dates. And then I've got an incredible date I can announce soon for July. Incredible. I'm so excited about it. But yeah, I want to get good. By the end of the year, I want to be the best wrestler I can be. Just to confirm, there is no narrator, right? Maybe that's just coming out of my Streamlabs. But just let me know. Just write, no, there is no narrator or something like that, just so I know. And that will do. But yeah, we'll talk about the Martin Kirby match soon. Definitely keep an eye out for it when it goes live on Defiant. The other thing to do, of course, is just keep an eye on all my dates, which I'll talk about soon. And if you are in the area and you can ever come down to one of my wrestling matches, I would really appreciate it. Because it'd just be good to have you there. Let's face it, wrestling's all about being a draw anyway, right? It doesn't really matter what you do in the ring. If people put you on a card and people come down, that's it. That's all wrestling is. let's not pretend otherwise. But yeah, we have dates in Iver, which is in Berkshire. We've got some in Southampton. We've got some in London. We've got some in Manchester, some in Leeds, some in Newcastle. So hopefully I'm covering enough ground here in the UK. Trying to work out some US dates. And I do have another one as well, but that's a secret one that I can't talk about at the moment. Right, my voice is about to go, as you can probably hear. So this will be a very short episode of Why With Simon. I do apologize. It's a bit all over the place this week. Usually I have a plan. I write it down. This time I just noticed that I had an hour free. I thought, oh my gosh, I got to get it done. But I'm about to lose my voice. I can feel it going. But yeah, please do. This is the weirdest podcast we've ever done. What was it even about? But please do like it. Like it, iTunes it, Patreon it, merchandise it, simon.bigcartel.com. Check out the wrestling podcast. Check out all my other podcasts. Shout out to Ivan I in the super chat. Says no narrator, just a babbling, bald idiot, hand on heart. Well, that's fine. As long as you can just hear me, that's all good. Why? It must be coming out of my Streamlabs. That'd be really annoying. Imagine it did that all the time. Nobody wants that. Would be absolute disaster. I guess usually if I have the sound on, you can hear it. I don't know. But yeah, shout out to Anthony Joshua. Shout out to Andy Ruiz Jr. just for getting in the damn ring and doing it to begin with. I respect it. and I respect boxers and all sports people. It's people in general. I gotta stop talking. I can hear it. Can you hear it slowly just crumbling away? Damn cold. Who would ever want to get cold? Who invented the cold? Kiss my ass. Unbelievable. Right, shortest, weirdest podcast ever. Next week, my week is far more normal, so this will be a better podcast. This is a bad podcast. I'm aware of this, but hey, you can always look back and remember that episode 5 in this bizarre series had no structure whatsoever, was put together on a whim, and then had to end soon because I started to lose my voice. Love you all. I'll see you soon.